I know life is hard and we have a lot of things on our plate, and sometimes it's hard to juggle it all. But the people in this community, we're here for a reason. We're here to support each other and make each other better and learn how to implement and execute the high impact habits, right? So someone interviewed me yesterday and they said, "Hey man, like, what is the one thing you want all of your people in your community to know?" So I thought about you guys. I was like, "What is the one thing I want you to know?" And I don't know if there's one answer, but what I would tell you is, you obviously your outcomes are determined by your habits. And so what you're ultimately looking to do in every domain of life is, what are the high impact habits? And that sometimes that means that most importantly, sometimes in the beginning, that means removing bad habits, right? Sometimes progress comes more from what we take away than what we add. And then adding in the most high impact levers for you. So if we're talking about training, what's the most high impact lever? If we're talking about nutrition, what's the most high impact lever? And that's really why we're here, right? And when I say lever, that means, like, what can I remove or add that ultimately will give me the greatest amount of progress in the trajectory that I'm looking to create? And it's not complex. It's not hard at all. You just got to wrap your head around creating the habit. And sometimes in the beginning, it's new, right? Sometimes in the beginning, it's different, but it's not hard. There's nothing about it that's hard, right? So I think I often talk about this. It's like, we have to change our psychological association, our psychological relationship with the word hard. And gentlemen, your words matter. The words you use matter. And sometimes we use these disempowering words, this disempowering language. Oh, it's hard. I can't do it. Right? We make ourselves a victim to the thing. Every one of you guys is a strong motherfucker. And that's why you're here. And that's why you're part of this community. And that's why we're here to support you. Right? You can do anything. And I believe in every one of you guys, even if I don't always know you. Right. As a coach, one of the things that we do as coaches, is we try to see what you're capable of more than you see what you're capable of. Right. Sometimes you don't believe in yourself. You guys ever think about the reality that you're probably your worst critic? And as a coach, yeah, we're always our worst critic, man. That's okay. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. This is the thing I want you guys to realize. There's nothing wrong with being your worst critic. There is something wrong with allowing that to negatively impact your action or your outcomes, right? Why did I become a successful bodybuilder? Because I was so critical of myself. And it's not negative. Criticism doesn't necessarily mean that I talk shit to myself. It just means that I know what I'm good at and what I'm not good at better than anyone else in the world. And if I had to wait for a judge to tell me that I had a shitty back, I'm a fucking idiot. Like, what do you, what, why? Like, I should be able to know myself more than anyone else knows me, right? And being honest with yourself and being critical is okay, but not being derogatory, not putting yourself down or saying you can't do it, because you can. You absolutely can anything, right? The fact that, I think about this a lot. There's people in the world who are, their level of effectiveness is 1,000 times or maybe 1,000,000 times what mine is. And so if they can get that level of effectiveness in their life, I have to be able to get a fraction. I may not be able to get it. I may not be as smart as them. I may not have the same level of physical fitness, but I can get a fraction. And if I can get a fraction, like maybe it's 1% or 10% or 20% or 50%, then I can be really, really effective in this life, right? And so we don't need to make $30 billion, but it'd be nice to make 50 million, right? Be nice to make 50 million. And that's not unreasonable for any one of you guys. I could put on, I could, you, we could put on 100 pounds of muscle, but you don't have to. But you could put on 30 to 50, right? That's not unreasonable. You could get down to 4% body fat, but you don't have to, but you could get under 10. That's not unreasonable, right? And so you may not get to 4% body fat where you're standing on the Miss Olympia stage or having $30 billion in your bank account, but you should very well, hello, little man. You should very well be setting these goals that are just like, hey man, I don't know how to get there. I have no idea how I'll get there, but I'm going to figure it out. And that's maybe, Mats will tell you, Mats gets a little scared when Ben comes to the table with some of our new goals as far as the team. And man, I always set goals that are just well outside of our comfort zone. I'm like, don't know how we're going to get there, but we'll figure it out. And that's one thing I encourage every one of you guys to do is stop setting goals that you think you can achieve, right? Set a goal that scares the heck out of you and then go, Mott's like, this is true. Yeah, like, how are we going to do it? Don't know, but we're going to figure it out. Why would you set a goal that's easy to achieve? Blows my mind. Set a goal that's like, I almost feel like I'm going to panic when I set it. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do it. Yeah, we'll figure it out, right? Put the right people and processes in place, you know, figure it out. And you guys have done that with your fitness. So I just thought I'd start by talking a little bit about this concept of trajectory. And so there's four areas that I suggest that you measure trajectory with respect to your health and fitness. And, you know, I'm not talking about your finances, your relationships, any of that stuff. There's four areas of four domains of physical optimization, or sorry, four domains of optimization when it comes to performance. The first one is your physical capability. The second one is your metabolic capability. The third one is your physiological capability, and I'll describe what that is in a minute. And your fourth one is your psychological capability or psychological resilience. Capability and resilience are used interchangeably here. So we talk about physical capability. It's like, well, you guys will probably talk about this, but what am I physically capable of doing every minute, right? Could you jump outside and do a sprint, drink four beers like Chris and go run 10 miles? It's a level of capability, right? And we, as we age, we want to maintain and win, damn right. Champions fight a way to win. And it's this objective of like, not only do I want to maintain my level of physical capability as I age, but I want to improve it. I want to expand my level of physical capability. When I'm 65, you better damn well know I'm going to be surfing like a champ. You better damn well know I'm going to be climbing mountains. I'm going to be riding bikes. I'm going to be lifting, me squatting 400 or 500 pounds, right? That's the goal. And now my mind is like, I'm not sure how I'm going to do it, but I'll do everything in my power to make sure that I get there. Right. And so when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I gotta get to work. I don't have time to sit around and watch television. I'm like, I gotta fucking work, man. I got big goals. And so there's nothing wrong with watching TV, but as long as you're getting your shit done, think about that. So second one, metabolic capability. How metabolic capable you are is relatively self-explanatory. How well do you extract energy from the food you eat? The third that I didn't talk too much about is physiological capability. And so physiological capability. So speaking about metabolic capability, none of you guys should be adding body fat ever as you age. That's bullshit. People say you're gonna add body fat as a result of aging. That's wrong. You just need to put the right things in place physically. So your physical is the linchpin, right? The physical is the keystone, we'll say. It unlocks the other ones to be more effective. So the physical capability makes the metabolic better. It makes the physiological better. It makes the psychological better. This is proven without a shadow of a doubt. The number one thing you can do for your longevity is movement. And there's no one that could refute that. So with physical being the keystone, then we have metabolic, and we have physiological capability. And physiological capability is how well does your body, it's the homeostatic regulators, is how well does your body adapt to imposed demand? So this is maybe beyond the scope of what you guys want to know or understand, but there's blood pressure regulation, there's blood sugar regulation, there's hunger regulation, right? There's stress regulation, there's CO2 regulation, pH. There's a number of these homeostatic regulator systems. And we want to keep them what's called anti-fragile, which means as I subject that system to stress, it actually gets stronger. And that, so everybody with me on that. If I subject a weak system to stress, the system gets weaker, it breaks. If I suggest a strong system or subject a strong system to stress, it gets stronger, right? Muscles get bigger, right? That's what's supposed to happen. That requires a strong adaptive capacity. And so if you're someone who's stressing yourself and you're getting weaker, then you can assume your adaptive capacity is low. You need to take steps to improve the adaptive capacity, right? When I say adaptive capacity, your capacity to adapt. So your ability to adapt to imposed demand. We could talk about that if you guys want to talk about some of the interventions to do that. So each of those systems should be hopefully anti-fragile, right? Like, is it fragile or is it anti-fragile? And anti-fragile means when I subject it to stress, I get better. Example, Gav and I think almost every night, with the exception of one, have been at the sauna and the ice tub every day. And he, you know, he's always trying to beat me and I'm not never letting him win. And that's just how we work. Like, we're getting stronger every day, you know, and if it takes competition, great. If not, go compete against yourself. And the final one, psychological capability, psychological resilience. And again, we should be measuring these things somehow, right? And if you guys have questions, I could teach you how to measure them. Psychological capability or psychological resilience, which means how well are you mentally in the face of stress? And sometimes stress just might mean the conversation in your own mind. Yeah, Tony's talking about Nassim Tlaib. And so stress or psychological resilience is when something is given to you, and I say given to you on purpose, it's placed in front of you, whether that be adversity or any challenge. What's your reaction, right? How well do you trust yourself? How well do you believe in yourself? How well do you confidently move toward discomfort and challenge? And you're just like, fuck it, let's go, right? And that's one thing that Gavin and I were talking about this morning is one of the things I love about every one of our coaches. If we woke everyone up at 1 a.m. and we're like, hey, we're going for a leg day. We're like, fuck it, let's go. Or like, where's the water? Let's go. Like, let's get it done. No one would be like, oh, bro, let me sleep. I'm like, no, that's not our people, man. Coach is all smiling and be like, yep. Every one of us would be like, yeah, let's go. And we, not only would we go, we'd all want to kick each other's ass, right? It's like, it's this, I always say champions find a way to win and we don't complain about it. And that's a beautiful thing about our community. I'm like, how do we convey that message to our audience and say, hey, yeah, Steve, like, yeah, dude, and then you know it's not going to be light either. it's true, man. It's true. It's like, I don't want to go. Let's go anyways. Let's go figure it out. And that's the people we want in this community, the people who smile in the face of adversity, right? It's not just like, oh, okay, I guess I have to endure this. It's like, yeah, motherfucker, I'll take this on and I'll do it twice, right? That's the response we want. Hopefully the little boy's gone. Sorry, Bill, if he's still there. I think it was Bill's boy. Yeah, it's people who confidently move toward discomfort and challenge, and because we know we believe in ourselves. And here's the thing: you don't always win, but you never stop. Thanks, man. You don't always win, right? You don't, but you don't ever stop, and that's all you need to know about yourself, boys. That's it. Any one thing you need to know about yourself is, I may not win this time, but I'm not going to give up. Right. And I think that's the single mindset that allowed me to be a successful bodybuilder. It's like, not every workout is great. Not every meal is perfect. Not every day is a win, but I just won't give up. I just won't. Right. It's tenacity. It's persistence. It's like maybe being a little too stupid for your own good. You're like, it's going to keep enduring this amount of discomfort. Like, yep, just keep going. So I encourage you guys all to sit with that, you know, and realize that you're capable of more than you think you are. Acknowledge your trajectory and change it if it's not going in the right direction. It's not hard. It just takes diligence and discipline, right? One of my favorite kind of quotes that's come out of my brain in the last 12 to 18 months is the real objective in life seems to be, and you guys can tell me if you think I'm wrong with this, but it seems to be confidence and character through commitment and challenge. Right? The development of confidence and character through commitment and challenge. I was on a call with a guy the other day and I said, man, you're already committed to your wife. You're already committed to your kids. Are you committed to yourself? And, sometimes that sets people aback. Like, oh no, I don't know. Well, you should be, right? You should be committed to yourself, because if you don't show up for yourself, you don't show up for your kids. So something to think about. Anyways, guys, I'll stop talking. Sorry for the long monologue. How's everyone's week going? Gav, how's your workout today? Is this your first call, Gav? Second call, because you're always sleeping at this time. Gav's in Canada right now. Normally he's in the UK sleeping, but he's gracing us with his presence. Yeah. If you guys that don't know Coach Gavin, Gav's our head coach. Coach Gav is a legend.
Ironically, I did a talk on sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning for you guys. So I wasn't sleeping when I was doing that. At the importance of sleep, and I was up at 1 a.m., but it was a good chat. But yeah, leg workout was good today. I was going to go down the road, grab a coffee, and buy a few bits in this nice little shop to take home with me, some t-shirts and sweaters and stuff. Ben's like, fucking train legs. Okay, let's go. So we put that on the back burner and we went to train legs. But yeah, just... here for a week with this. I did beat you in the ice tub the first night. I didn't get out until you got out.
So it wasn't a competition if I don't know. You never win if I didn't know. Or if I knew, you wouldn't.
Yeah, but it's just working, like Ben said, just working those little challenges in every day, just to flip that mind. Like last night was the coldest one we did, and I managed 4 minutes. And I sometimes it is a bit silly where you're pushing yourself a little bit too much, because after the cold tub, I sat chatting with Ben. I was like, Ben, my head was going at one point. I thought I was going to pass out. And me being me thinking, I was looking over, seeing if he was still in, but sometimes a little bit silly, but you felt great afterwards.
So here's the funny thing. Yeah. Gav goes in for 4 minutes. And so that was hard for him, right? And so the last time this happened to me, which is probably about a month ago now, I felt like a hero one day, and it was very cold. And I was like, I'm just going to keep going. Let me see how long I can do. So I did 6 minutes. And I was like, yeah, I feel great. Like, I feel, you know, my ego is like exploding inside my head. I was like, yeah, I'm a champ. And then this girl, no shit. I'm sitting there. I get out of the cold plunge, and I sit there because I want to feel the shivering, right? I sit there for 5-10 minutes because I want my body to shiver. And this chick gets in, and probably 110 pounds, little Asian girl. And she jumps in and does literally 10 minutes, stone face, nothing, stone face. And I was like, oh, that makes me feel a little differently. I love that, man. I'm like, that's so great. Put me in my place. My ego doesn't need to feel good today. But I did what I needed to do, or what I wanted to do, which just went in and crushed me. Like, that was a little message from the universe. Enjoy that. So, Gav, every time we think we're doing well, just remember the little Asian girl who's kicking our ass.
Mate, there's some little Asian girl warming up with my max doing Olympic lifting, so got to keep pushing me.
Steve, what were you showing us? 365 or something? I don't know, something ridiculous.
What was that?
You're showing us some Olympic lifters when you're here, like some crazy lifts.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a Chinese girl. She just, and it's so just stonewall, stone-faced. She clean and jerked 347, and she just like, I'm done. Went up, and it's like, I don't care.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, not even excited about it, right?
No. What's the body weight, Steve?
I think it was 133.
Not bad. Yeah. Three times body weight. She's all right, right? Decent. Five, that's decent numbers, right?
Kgs?
No.
No, man. No, 133 pounds, and she put up 347 is insane.
Yeah, sounds about right.
That's nuts. Chris, that's decent numbers, right?
Yeah, that'd be world class. That'd be podium numbers.
I think that was the Olympics, right? Wasn't it, Steve? Yeah. Chris, what's going on with you? Anything you want to, any client wins you want to celebrate for guys that are on the call?
Looking at all the faces here. Bill is on the call. Bill is kind of new. He's I think three-ish weeks in right now. Bill, if you're the child on his lap, if the child.
Yeah, no, him, yeah, that was me. He's watching TV. I got my headset in. Let's talk freely.
Sorry, man.
Why don't you tell the team, you know, what your objective is to come out of this program here and where you are currently?
Yeah, so like Chris said, I joined the program about, I think, 3 weeks ago, right around there. Really just trying to get in much better shape. I'm not out of shape, but I want to make sure I stay that way, right? So I'm trying to, you know, carve out my six pack again and build bigger arms and just be stronger in general. So I've challenged myself to try to get into the 1,000-pound club, which Chris is helping me with. And apparently I've been cheating on squats for quite some time. So we have a new standard for that. No, so far it's been great. I was actually going to comment on Ben, your point about us being our worst critics. I had a great conversation with Chris this afternoon about how hard I've been on myself lately, because I'm in a bit of a sales slump and all that other fun stuff that I'm putting pressure on myself. But, you know, to your point, I feel like that's kind of when we push ourselves, that's when we find our boundaries. And, you know, the harder you push, the further out you can move those boundaries. So I'm doing that in the workouts. I'm doing that in other areas of my life. And I'm just, I'm super excited about where this is going. And I think the community has been pretty neat to be engaged in. So thanks to Coach Chris for helping me with that.
Thanks for sharing, man. So man, there's something beautiful you said in there. And I think this is such a nuanced thing where, like, there's nothing wrong with being hard on yourself, man. Like, you better be hard on yourself.
Yeah.
That's not the same as getting down on yourself, right? It's like having really high expectations on yourself and of yourself and not allowing yourself to fall into a slump if you don't hit it. That's the nuance of it, right? It's like, and I'm going to put such high expectations on myself, but if I don't hit it, I'm going to keep going. And I'm not a failure if I don't do it once and I don't suck and I don't lose my belief in myself because I'm having a sales slump, man. Like, dude, I've had probably more bad workouts in the last 2 years than I've had good ones. Yeah. Like, yeah, you still gotta keep going. Stevie, you want to highlight any of your guys?
I think Jimmy's on this. Me and Jimmy have been having a lot of great conversations. And what I want to kind of point out about him, yeah, there he is that Jimmy is just amazing at communication. He is a coach's dream client when it comes down to being able to just let me know everything that's going on. And even if it might not be seemingly relevant, it always is, which is, I mean, it's awesome because it opens up conversation. And that's the cool thing. Like he's right now fiddling with like a CGM and we're learning a lot. He's learning a lot about his body and how that's working. But like before that, it was mechanics. And before that, it was getting his gut in an arrangement so that he can eat more food without putting on unnecessary weight. So I just want to shout him out, man, because he's just been a stellar person in and out to work with. But as a client, it's been awesome just because it again, we want to help. And I love being communication with my guys. And yeah, it's just when we're always talking about making sure people just submit videos or submit questions, this is what I'm talking about. So yeah, Jimmy, you're kicking butt, buddy.
Beautiful, Jimmy. Celebrating you today, man. Acknowledging you. Steve talks a lot about you a lot, actually. So celebrating you and your leadership in this community and setting a high standard for everybody, man. So thank you. Anything you want to share? Any words of wisdom? You're kind of far back there. I don't know if you can reach the camera.
Here we go. I told Steve early on that, I'm kind of a data geek. So tracking and all that stuff is something I've kind of been used to doing in the past. So it's just been great to share, and have his insight on things I've been tracking and maybe what they may mean differently than what I thought differently. And just, learning the little nuances of things and really getting down to fine tuning, just from nutrition to, like you said, mechanics, to what I'm, it's helpful for you guys to let your coaches know, I think, at least for me, is letting them know what you're feeling and what your mind, like your process too on certain movements and lifts. So, Steve's like, well, that might work, but you really probably should do maybe this, and that kind of helps me kind of get on track too. So just like in life, if you really can't over communicate things, you really, like we tell our guys at work, is like, if you think you over communicate it, multiply by 10, and that's probably where you really need to be. Mm-hmm. I would say that's probably effective in this scenario as well.
Great feedback, man. There's a lot in there, but communicating is vital. So one of the, I think probably the single most talked about thing in our coaching calls, so we do 2 hours of coaching calls every week, like amongst the team, and I think the single most important or single most talked about topic is managing expectations. And the only way to know your expectations is if you guys communicate them. And so we're getting better at asking the right questions, and so sometimes you don't even know what you expect or what you want and what a win looks like for you. So it's hard, but we're getting better at learning to like dig a layer beneath the surface and understanding what you need and what you want. And guys, if we're not meeting your expectations, it's not the lack of capability that's not meeting your expectations. It's the lack of clarity, right? So we have the capability to meet and exceed your expectations. And if we're not, then there just needs to be some communication both directions. It's not placing blame on anybody. It needs to be communication, right? So that's one thing that I say to everybody. Like, I have 100% confidence in every one of these guys to get an incredible result for you and with you, right? As a team, part of your team. But without knowing what that is, it's impossible to succeed. So, and the one other thing you said in there, Jimmy, that's worth sharing is oftentimes, guys, maybe the thing that's good, if we ask the coaches, what's one thing you could do right now that would improve your level of success? That's sending regular videos, because your rate of progress is limited by your rate of physical capability. And if you're not physically capable enough to make fast progress, then you're getting frustrated. And the only way to make better progress is to move more effectively. And here's the crazy thing that's so important to remember. Cues are not universal. So if you watch a YouTube video and you go, oh, this guy who's got a massive chest said I should do this, it doesn't mean it works for you. It has to be individualized. Cueing is not universal. Some cues can be universal, but most are not. So cueing means like telling somebody how to do a bench press effectively or telling you how to squat. Just because somebody's like, oh, spread your knees and do this. You're like, no, man, that doesn't work for you. Your body's different than mine. So it's the gift that you have in front of you, some world-class coaches who can walk you through how to move for your body. And we're so different. It's ridiculously nuanced. And you may not see it, but we see it because that's what we do for a living, right? We look at such ridiculous minutia of movement, but that's what's important for someone who wants to do something exceptional. Andrew, anything you want to talk about and share?
Hey, team. I see a good amount of my guys on, but I could honestly talk about any one of them, but you know, Richard Davies continues to stand out for me, and he had a scenario this past week, and I think it's relevant if he's willing to share for him to talk about it. Just all the same stuff we've been talking about, sends his videos, doesn't miss anything, 100% to everything, just a gem of a human. And he had a scenario last week, and if Richard's willing to pop off and share, I'll let him tell it real quick. But he got into a little bit of a slight car accident. Sounds like everything was okay, but it put a damper in what the day looked like, and he was still just as positive as ever. And I'll let you talk about it, Richard.
Thank you, Andrew. I was just at work, and I was on my way to go up to Vegas to deliver. And then I got involved with a minor accident. Nobody got hurt. There was actually no damage whatsoever, but it added about 2.5 hours to the day. And you know, the police got involved, called them and get the reports and all that. And then I finally got out of that, and I got going up about another 50 miles, and the truck broke down. So I had to wait three and a half hours for the truck, the tow truck to come tow us back to Phoenix. And that was going to be an hour and a half tow job from where I was broke down at. So I knew it was going to be really, really late when I got back into town, probably, 7, 8 o'clock, something like that. So I knew I'd be tired and wore out. So, you know, no excuses, like we always say. I went to the back of the truck and where the waste was at, and I did my workout. I thank the community for that, because, you guys keep supporting me and keep giving me all this information. And I thank everybody for that very much.
Man, way to keep a calm mind and some stress resilience, right? I'm not sure if what your reaction and approach would have been in the past, but I'm curious if you think that your health and your career level of fitness acceptance of yourself impacted your response and your ability to kind of tolerate that situation.
Yeah, you know, what people don't really realize is the healthier you are, body-wise, muscle-wise, all that, the more your mind's able to handle more. Every which way you look at it, psychologically, physically, you're able to handle so much more. And it has, my progress has gone not only physically, but mentally and psychologically and all that. You know, I mean, it's helped me gain more confidence in myself, obviously. And it definitely has helped me to become more resilient to adversity. Definitely.
I laughed because Richard sent me a voice note saying, I'm still going to get my workout in. I got my workout in. He's like, the only thing I can't do right now is I can't leave the truck, so I can't finish my walk right now. He's like, I'm still going to get it done. I still got it done that night.
Legend. So moving past the coaches and our wins, I'm curious if anyone, any of the gentlemen here have any challenges that's coming up or any wins that you guys want to share? So I'll go. Go ahead. Yeah.
So my coach is Chris, and our very first workout, he wanted to see some of the function that I had in my knees, and because I'm just really tight in my hips, really tight in my legs, and I couldn't do a split squat without holding on to anything. And so then the workout last week, which I'm going to have again tomorrow, it's called, I'm trying to think of the name of the exercise. It's I think it's the ATG split squat.
Yep.
And I had to stop the workout because I was excited. I told my wife, like, I haven't done these in forever at all, or since the first week. So this was 4.5 weeks ago, maybe. And just full function of my knee. Like, I was almost in tears of like, I have not been like, my son wrestles. I used to wrestle in high school and I coached wrestling. And last season I was trying to show my son a move and I couldn't do it. I was like, put your knee here, put your foot here, put your hand here, because I couldn't get down to do it. And to have that full range of motion, have my knee that far in front of my foot, I was like, yo, what the hell just happened? And so Chris was like, can you take a video tomorrow? So tomorrow I'm going to take a video of how much movement I have and compare it to the very first time that I did it.
Man, that's awesome. And I could see how that moment with your son would be painful. Cause like, I'll never concede the inability to do something, man. I tore my Achilles last year, running after my kids. It's like, oh shit. I'm like, I'm not stopping though. I'll keep going. I'll let them know it hurts later. Good job, man. Dude, good for you. That's a huge win for.
Piggyback on that. Juan, one of the good things that you did that was actually so effective was in the beginning, he sent the videos and he struggled to train hard and long because his body kind of kept giving out on him. He'd be sore for a while. And he just said, I can't do these exercises because when they don't actually enhance my life. They make me worse. I said, no problem. Now that I see how you move, we're going to meet you where you are. We're going to build you up. So in the beginning, a lot of videos. Then I gave a lot of feedback. He took the feedback, applied it. Then all of a sudden, his body starts getting better. So we recently started doing more hypertrophy training when before it was more full body splits, but he's getting better. So now I can give him more. And because I can give him more, his body can then develop at a faster rate. This is why it's important to communicate with your coaches with things like videos, like Ben said. All cues are not universal. We need to see you. In muscle camp situations, we get to touch you. We get to put you in the machine, but we're not doing that every weekend. So video feedback is going to be key for a lot of people's success to move them forward.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for sharing one. That's great, man. So guys, one thing that I suggest every one of you do, does anyone else, again, I'm not going to answer, you don't have to answer this, but I assume there's other people in here who are experiencing similar situations where you wake up and you feel tight. You go, man, I'm really got tight hamstrings. I got a tight back. I got something that's hurting, sore knees. There's some really impactful interventions that work really fast to alleviate that tension. It takes doing it every day. It takes consistency. But man, I do this every day, and I'll do it when I brush my teeth or in the shower. Like, you just got to move in a loose. So you guys have heard me talk about, maybe some of you are new. There's when you're getting strong in the gym, we're trying to create rigidity, right? We're trying to create rigidity in the muscular system so that it holds the body in place. And the more rigidity we have, the more muscle we create, right? Rigidity and stability are inextricably linked. Those are the same. So we're trying to create this rigidity through the body. However, we don't want to walk around with the level of rigidity that we're creating in the gym, right? If I put 500 pounds in your back, imagine how much rigidity you have to create through your entire body. Just like, whoa, you're like catatonic, right? Well, I don't want that to become my habit, right? I don't want that to become my state. So what's the other side of that? Well, I have to create fluidity, right? I want a degree of the ability to flow and move. And sometimes if we don't realize those things are polar ends of the spectrum, we forget about it. And so we're just like, oh, I just need to get stronger. And while strength is massively correlated with mobility and flexibility, the ability to move your joints is very correlated to strength, so too is fluidity. And so if I were to say, hey man, if you wake up in the morning, I want you to spend 5 minutes, I usually put a song on and I almost like dance. It's like just trying to get your body flowing, man. Trying to get your body moving a little bit. and allow and feel through like the tension, and it can be any version of that type of movement that works for you. And yeah, it's going to feel weird in the beginning. You're going to feel uncomfortable, and your wife's going to see you weird, and your kids are going to think you're kind of crazy, but there's a huge amount of value in just like moving, man. Like, so here's the best thing you guys should do tomorrow morning. You guys have all done this in your life at some point, probably when you're kids. If you're standing, I don't know, standing up straight, bend over, put your hands on your knees, right? So you're kind of hunched over a little bit, put your hands on your knees. Squat down a little bit, not too far, just so your butt's kind of down a little bit. So you're not like bending over at your back. You're kind of squatted down. You know, call it 45 degree squat. And then just start doing circles with your knees, right? So it's like the knee is physically moving, but you're actually doing circles at the ankle, right? And go both directions. Go 10 both ways. Go 10 one way, then 10 the other, right? So now you're getting these ankle rotations. And then stand up, put your hands on your hips, and start doing circles with your hips. Go both directions with your hips, 10 and 10. Just do that. Just do that. The next level, if you want to go one more, is then stand up straight and just take your arms across your body, right? Just cross your body like that. So you did your ankles, you did your hips, and you did your spine. If you guys just do that, maybe the next one I would add in is like reaching above your head, trying to get your arm. It sounds weird and ridiculous, but this is the stuff I do every day because I'm trying to prevent my body from becoming rigid when I'm old or just throughout the day, right? We sit a lot, we don't move a lot. 3 to 5 minutes of movement. So you go 10 knee circles, 10 hip circles, 10 twists to the left, 10 twists to the right, 10 above your head. That's all. And the key is not just doing it. The key is doing it and trying to explore the ends of the range. So in the circles, you're trying to make it as big as possible. And the reach, you're trying to go reach way up, right? Really reach from your torso. If you guys do that, your mobility will get better, guaranteed. And your ability to kind of feel fluid will get better. Yeah, it's so simple, but it's so effective. I'm just reading Steve's comment. Yeah, it sounds ridiculous, but it could take 3 to 5 minutes while you're brushing your teeth and just move a little bit. And then eventually you get more comfortable going, oh, I can do this. This feels good. And you're gonna move like a completely different man. This is a really big lever. It sounds like a small goofy lever, but it's really big. Salsa hips. There you go. I like it, Mike. It's true, man. Just like, see them move back and forth, totally. Okay, so Matt's saying many guys on the call have shared some issues, back-related issues or stiffness. And so, man, stiffness is there to protect you. And the reason it's there to protect you is because you're weak or you're pushing your body, your posture out of alignment. And so we want to be able to drive some blood flow. You guys know blood flow is everything, right? Blood is the life force, man. Oxygen is the life force. And without blood flow, those areas become rigid and you stop moving really well. Just move some blood there. Give him some for what? You guys want me to shoot a video for you? Is that what you're saying, Mats? From what? For stiffness? That's what I did. That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah.
I know that you had that podcast not too long ago with Dr. Stuart McGill. Was there anything kind of top of mind that you really kind of took away from finishing that podcast with him?
Good question. Anything that would be useful in this context? I'm sure there's a million things. I can't think of anything right now that would be like super earth shattering. It's worth listening to, you guys. If you haven't listened to my podcast with Stu McGill, listen to it. He's the number one back expert in the world. I'll probably have a re-listen. Chris?
I'm very familiar with Stu's work. I'm McGill certified level 3. And I put out a course actually with McGill about 6 years ago on low back health. Stu's big stuff is when someone has low back discomfort, low back pain, low back issues, it usually falls under one of three categories. There's always going to be a cause. It's either going to be postures, motions, or loads. What that means is if you have discomfort and you have bad posture, that could be the cause. Motions, which could be day-to-day activities that you're doing and you're beating up the back, such as tying your shoes wrong, such as getting in and out of your car, such as the way you deadlift in the gym. Those motions over time could be leading to your low back pain. The last one being load. Load is the weights you lift. For the majority of us here, we're trying to increase our physique and change the way we look. I know a lot of people who lift really big weights who look like shit with their shirts off. Sometimes how much you lift is not a huge factor in changing your physique. So like Juan, and I have chatted already about his body, he's got some Romanian deadlifts to do tomorrow. He has them at a 4-1-1-0 tempo. 4 count down, 1 count pause, 1 count up. He has sets of 15. It's 6 seconds a set. How much weight do you think Juan's going to be lifting? Going to be a lot? Juan, how much are you programmed for your very first set?
Just the bar.
45 pounds. Doing that exercise with that tempo and that rep is going to build his capacity, his low back endurance. As his low back endurance goes up, doing a movement like that, he's going to be more robust. The Romanian deadlift, when the load exceeds the capacity of the individual, is a spine breaker. When the load is appropriate for the individual, it is a spine builder. McGill's work is big on finding triggers for low back pain, removing triggers, and then making you more robust. And he believes that most of the causes are either going to be postures, motions, or loads.
That's great. Great summary, man. Thank you. Any other questions coming in from you boys? You guys good to wrap for the evening? Cool. Well, guys, if no other questions, we'll wrap for the evening. Hopefully we'll provide some value. Everybody get some value out of today's call. Everybody enjoy being here. If not, guys, come with a question. We're happy to answer and support. And even if you don't want to ask me directly, you can ask in the chat and you can ask for any one of the coaches. So I really appreciate you guys making time during the week. I know it's not easy. I know your time is incredibly valuable. So we always do our best to show up here and either provide a little education, a little inspiration, right? It's always one of the two. So hopefully get a little bit of both. And next week, we'll see you here doing the same thing. Guys, go crush it, man. Go crush it. We believe in you. You can do it, okay? So do everybody.